since I've done Sunday evening service. And so you guys are doing a great thing. I mean, a lot of churches are going no Sunday evening, and I've seen it, you know, go that way. And I hear John says, we're only do Sunday evening. And I'm like, how does that work? But it works. It looks like it works good. So good things going on. And I want to thank you for your word. I came here to give you God's word, and you ministered to me directly. So thank you. I needed what you just said today. And so I appreciate being here, and good worship service as well. So we're going to look at the account of Luke's Sermon on the Mount this evening. And I have a different name for it, so you'll have to bear with me, and I'll get to that and let you know what that name is for the Sermon on the Mount in the Luke's account. So it's chapter 6 of Luke, and I have it up here. If I can remember which ones. Oh, it's already there. Okay, you got it? All right, perfect. The Lord gave me this passage for this week, and then all of a sudden the news broke out, and it fit right along lines of what I was going to speak about. And it's the Amanda Geiger versus Botham James trial that you've probably all seen on TV. And if you haven't, let me just tell you a little bit of the news. It was just a recap of a Dallas police officer who thought she was going into her apartment, and she ended up shooting this guy, and thought it was her own apartment. Anyways, so some people are crying racism, and some people are crying, you know, cop killer, and all kinds of different things. But I want to tell you this. Is that God has an entirely different outcome in this tragedy. And some of you have seen this, some of you have followed it, maybe some of you don't know what's going on in the news. But isn't that just like God? He takes a horrible, tragic situation, and he brings something really tremendous and really good out of that. In the midst of things going wrong, God intervenes, especially when his children obey his word and listen to him and act upon what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live. So today, as we read this passage of scripture, I want you to search your own hearts and find the good and the bad. There's always bad in this world, but God is always there to pull good and to show us good. Every one of us has been a part of a tragedy and bad situations. Amber Geiger, however, whatever side of the fence you're on, it's not about her. This is about the situation and how God is working through this situation. Amber Geiger became the enemy of the Jean family. She became an enemy of them. And the day she walked in and shot their son, their brother, their grandchild. But God's plans for the enemy is something totally different than what the world would see. And so with that, let's read our scripture, and we will continue on with that. Luke 6, 17. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." And then he moves right into loving your enemies. And so let's start with 27 to 36 here. "But to you who are listening, I say," I'm going to read that again. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn them to the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." There's a lot to take in there, but I want to jump just previous to this. A couple things that jumped out to me was that before this, Jesus had prayed. He had stayed up and he was praying, and he out of his disciples, he chose his apostles. And I think it's a good lesson to us that no matter what we do and no matter what we begin, whether it's in the church or just our own lives and our families, we need to begin with prayer. And we need to seek God in prayer. And so never make a decision without much prayer. Make sure prayer is a vital part of your life. Jesus is the best example we have, and he's a very good example. Obviously, we wouldn't be serving him and following him or consider ourselves disciples if we didn't think that. But I'm reminded of the verse in John 15:5. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing. And he's talking about fruit. He's talking about our Christian witness out into our world. If we try to do this church thing, if we try to even love our enemies without being in prayer and without, you know, knowing the source is in the power is from Christ Almighty, then we are wasting our time. We're wasting our time. Whatever it is, whether it's church, whether it's running a church board, whether it's reaching out in our community, Christ has got to be our source of power behind everything that we do. Jesus knew he was in the same boat while he was on this earth. He was fully human, fully divine, and he always went to the Father. He always went to prayer, and he always depended upon his Father and his Father's will for his life. We need to do the same. He was quite the example for us. So the apostles were chosen on an account of in Luke there, and he tells us that Jesus went on level ground to speak. Now that's what's a little different between the Matthew account and the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew, and then I've named it here the Sermon on the Plains. It's two different things. One's up on the mountain, and one's, he said, he came down to a level spot. So here Luke's account is the Sermon of the Plains. And his disciples were there, and a great number of people. They came to be healed, and they had impure spirits. They were healed. Scripture says all of them by the power coming from Jesus that day. And I think that's a great testimony to us, seeking out the Lord and knowing that where that power comes from. any of our healing is going to come from God Almighty. It's going to come directly from God. It's not something that we do on our own. They had impure spirits and they were healed all that day by the power from Jesus. Now, something great about Luke's account here. The Sermon on the Mount, and like I've already told you, this is the Sermon of the Plains. It's level ground, and here he is speaking to the Gentiles. And one of the way we know this is he's basically leveling the playing field. And he's sharing the fact that it's not just for the Jews, because he omitted some of the Jewish jargon, the Jewish speaking words. And he omitted the Jewish talk. And he on purpose took out the Jewish connotations. And so here he is talking to a different audience, or at least going that direction. And in verse 33 and 34 were added from the Matthew account. And it says, I'll reread that, 33 and 34. "And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full." But he took out the words "brethren" and "publicans," and it kind of depends on which translation you're reading, but he took out the words that Matthew would have used for the Jewish crowd, and he used the words "sinners." He kind of leveled the playing field. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. That we need to love our enemies, and we need to love each other. We need to loan. We need to give and not expect to get back. And so it's quite a bit of difference between Matthew and Luke's accounts. So let's get into this message a little bit deeper. Luke has four Beatitudes with four woes. Matthew has nine Beatitudes. Luke's account of the Beatitudes are exactly opposite of the woes that he states there. When we first read the Beatitudes and woes, it's easy to think, wow, life is a bummer. Life is, and I basically would say, suck it up, buttercup, because it's good to be poor, hungry, a whiner, and while you're at it, it's good to be hated as well. Aren't you blessed? Isn't that a great thing? The point is that the ancestors mistreated the prophets and spoke well of the false prophets. That's backwards the way it should be. But that's what he's saying here. It's exactly opposite of the way it should be. Kind of reminds me of some of society today. And in the case that I brought up at the beginning of this message, people pointing out the trashing the police, praising a felon. I mean, we see this in different newscasts, different news areas. We're all for the one who's in trouble, and the one who's trying to keep people out of trouble, we're bashing them and dragging them to court and doing all these things. Society has kind of gone a little bit that way. But Jesus is pointing out the danger of being too firmly tied to this world. When we're too tied to this world, it's easy to just get angry because it's all we have. It's all we have. And so our anger builds, and our blaming and our hatred and everything just keeps escalating and escalating. And he says, you know what? Don't be so tied to this world. It's okay to love your enemies. It's okay to treat your enemies better than they treat you, certainly. And it says, if we are poor and depend on the Lord, we'll be taken care of. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Whether we're poor or rich, if we depend upon the Lord, He's going to take care of us. If we are hungry and depend on the Lord, we will be fed. We will be fed. If we are in sorrow and depend on the Lord, you know what? I hope this is great hope for you. We will laugh again. If we are hated because of our faith, our reward will be so much greater. Notice it doesn't say this. It doesn't say we're hated because of our self-righteous attitudes. We should be filled with joy. It doesn't say that. It says because we depend upon the Lord, basically, we will be a blessed person. It's because of our love for others that we'll be hated. That's the reason Jesus was hated. That's the reason the prophets were hated. That's the reason his apostles were hated. They were doing good things and they were loving people. And they were hated. So, all of this to say, living for the world has its pleasurable times, but nothing compared to eternity with what God has in store for us. Our motives and our choices will tell us how firmly we are tied to this world. Our motives and our choices will tell us how firmly we are tied to this world. Remember this, being a follower of Christ is one who learns from lessons, who studies Scripture, who prays, who listens to God, who obeys God, who follows His commands and don't find them burdensome. That is a disciple of Christ. We are students. We spend time learning and applying His ways to our lives. And by the way, how are we doing in the area of loving our enemies? How are we doing? I mean, do we have enemies? Somewhere. But do we love them? And I've shared this before, and I'll share it again. So, you know, this is complete, just openness, honesty with you. Sometimes it's hard loving each other. We go to a board meeting and there's things that we don't like, and God says, that's nothing. Love your enemies. And they're throwing things at you and they are 100% against you. Love your enemies. That's the plan of Jesus. The great thing is we don't have to depend on ourselves to do that. When we are following the Lord, when we are His disciples, and this is why it's important to pray, is that we need the power of Christ living within us to be able to love our enemies, to be able to love those we sit next to in church and those that we go have board meetings with. And it's a lot easier to talk about it in this church than it is mine. But that's the case. We need to love each other. The world knows if the love of God is in us when we can actually love those who hate us. Can you imagine loving someone that just absolutely hates your guts and share the love of Christ with that person? Can you imagine what that would do to the people around that situation? They might just give their heart to Jesus. That's really what we're called to do. We're called to be an example for Christ by His power living within us. When we can actually lend a hand or let go of some finances for someone who doesn't like us, or time, possibly give time to them. Whatever it is our enemy needs, we are there for them as Christ would be there for them. Can you imagine that? Imagine living in a world where the church was just on fire for serving our enemies. I don't think we live in that day and age. And I'll be the first one to say, I've had problems with people, and I need more of Christ in my life. Because this is Scripture. This is what God is calling us to. Now let me share you the rest of the story that you didn't see, or some of you possibly didn't see on the national television this week. The brother, Brant Jean, of the man who was killed by Amber Geiger, He said to her that if she was truly sorry, then he would forgive her. He pointed out that she needs the Lord and then asked if it was possible to give her a hug at the end of the trial. After, and I want to point this out, after she was convicted of the 10 years in jail, the sentence. Church, I want to tell you today that 18-year-old boy showed the love of Christ in that courtroom.
Amen.
No matter where you are, whether you know she should have had more time or less time or whatever it is, that Christian boy showed the world how to love his enemy.
Yes.
And now you've probably read the judge gave her a Bible. See what I mean by God wants to work something out different than what it looked like? The judge gave her a Bible and now the judge is in trouble. I mean, that's the world we live in. That's hatred. I mean, that's the other side of love. And it's by Christ's power in us that we can love our enemies. And when they asked Grant's mother and father, you know, what did you think about your son and, you know, forgiving this lady who killed his brother? The father said he is right on. The mother said, I don't know how he could have done it so fast, so quickly. And I think she's with him, but she's not quite there yet, or at least in the article I read. It would be tough. Tough. So, back to the hatred, the hating of the judge giving a Bible to a lady that's convicted. I heard Friday that Brown, I don't know his first name, who testified in that, was outside of that same apartment building in a drive-by shooting and he was killed. The world we live in, the hatred we live in, and I'm here to tell you, Christ has a different plan. And hatred should never be a part of the church. It should never be a part of anything that we are a part of. But Jesus says to love our enemies. And that's what he calls us to do today. We'll also recognize if we're disciples by his power and impure spirits that need to be healed within us. Sometimes in our growth in Christ, we learn and we know the things that God wants to change in our lives, but we have to surrender those to Jesus. And I would say certainly an impure spirit would be hatred for anyone. Hatred for, you know, a brother or sister in Christ, a hatred for someone who hates us. We need to be healed of that. And as far as I know, Scripture says that Jesus is the only one that can heal us from that. It's not your pastor, sorry John, but it's Jesus. And we need to be on our knees before Jesus, bowing before him if we get ourselves found in that situation where, man, I can't love my enemy. Because you know what they did to me? I'm here to tell you today that Jesus can heal and we can love no matter what someone's done to us. It's only by the power of Christ. There are situations, probably even in this room, that I would say personally, without Christ, you'll never be healed. But with Christ, you can absolutely be healed and have the peace and the hope that can only come from God Almighty. So give it to the Lord and allow him to work in your life. How well do we love our enemies? How well? Impure spirits can't love their enemies. They want to fight every time. We have enemies in our lives. It's just easier to fight. And we need to give that up. We need to give it over to Christ. So this Sermon of the Plains, it makes life with Christ a reality for all who come to him and ask to be healed by the power of Christ. And so my plea for this church and wherever I would preach this message would be healed and start loving those who hate you And here's the greatest thing in the world. It's not about us. We might win one for Christ, if not all. Can you imagine if the church really, really took this to heart and said, I'm going to love my enemies. And I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to give them a drink. I'm going to give them finances. I mean, that's ludicrous. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the only one asking us to love our enemies. You realize that? The world's not asking us to love our enemies. I said this in our church, and I saw two guys punch each other in the back. And I thought, yeah, that's the world right there. They were kidding, but the world would rather get even than to love their enemies. But Jesus is calling us to love our enemies and to be there for them. I believe with all my heart, if we can live by the power of Christ in us that way, people will turn to the Lord in mass number. In mass number. So let me close with this. Be healed and start loving those who hate you, and we will win some, if not all, to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you this afternoon. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to not just love those who love us, not just love those who put up with us, but Lord, you call us to love each one who hates us. You call us to help those who even hate us. And Lord, I'd be the first one to say that is pretty tough. But it's not with the power of Christ living within me. And so Lord, today, may this be a day that we leave this congregation and we actually look for the person who hates us, or a group of people, or whatever it is. And may we look at them as not a project, but a possibility of being a child of God. Lord, that you love them and you want us to love them just as you love them. It's not fun being hated. It's not fun even being discussed and talked about behind our backs. But Lord, help us to live for you each and every day of our lives. Lord, thank you that your word tells us the exact opposite of what the world is telling us. Father, we believe in you and we trust in you. And we believe, Lord, that you have great things ahead for the church. We believe you have great things ahead for people who we know. We may not even get along with them. But it just might be we spend eternity with them. Help us, Lord, to listen to this message today. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to help our enemies. Help us to pray for our enemies. May you launch ministry into our world through the body of Christ. We just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And at this time, we are going to close with communion. So if I can